Today, we're diving into a heated topic that's been making waves in Australia. On November 29, 2024, a significant debate took place in Perth, Western Australia. It revolved around the government's handling of COVID-19 vaccine safety, which was neither safe or effective. Professor Ian Brighthope, a prominent medical professional, didn't hold back. He knows what's happened and buried and what's coming. If your loved ones were injected, they're living with time bombs. He described the vaccination program as the most uncontrolled experimentation ever on mankind. It was pure evil in its enormity. Strong words, right? But it gets more intense. Brighthope highlighted alarming concerns about synthetic DNA contamination of the experimental vaccines. These things were untested, yet they coerced a nation and injected some 20 million Australians without informed consent. They would have never agreed if they knew what we know today. He cited Dr. David Spiker's work, claiming contamination levels in Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are up to 145 times the permissible limit. The vaccines were beyond toxic. This, he argued, could lead to genomic instability, cancers, autoimmune diseases, and other health problems. The term turbo cancers was discussed. Brighthope described instances of rapid cancer progression post-vaccination, especially in individuals aged 14 to 40. This is an age group that shouldn't be getting cancers. He noted cases where cancer-free individuals experienced aggressive relapses after booster doses. Brighthope didn't stop there. He criticized Australian health authorities for a lack of transparency and failure to monitor post-vaccination cancer trends, despite warnings from vaccine skeptics. Of course, there's a cover-up going on. If the truth was discussed, the people would come for the culprits, many who have retired, resigned, or run away, so they don't have to face the music. He also raised concerns about endotoxins and an SV40 sequence, a known cancer promoter present in the vaccines. The debate reached an emotional peak when Brighthope broke down in tears, expressing his deep concerns for the millions of people affected and those who've died and been ignored and those who are going to die having taken the toxic experimental concoctions that weren't vaccines. He even proposed a 5-point plan to address the situation, though details weren't given in the article. Stay informed, stay critical, and let's keep the conversation going, as those who did this knowingly or failed to act when the dangers were pointed out must be held to account. You remember their faces and names who scolded, mocked, lied, misled, and set armed police on the population when the culprits were questioned. Their names and crimes aren't forgotten. Accountability is coming as death rates become impossible to hide and ignore.
Yeah, interesting developments in Australia, folks. A lot of people are waking up to the damage that this alleged vaccine has been doing to them. Huge pushbacks happening. You know, the government of Australia is sort of a little bit trembling at the moment because the people are waking up to just how much they've been scammed and how much damage was done to them through this whole COVID scamdemic. It's becoming apparent to a lot of people there never was any virus. They just renamed the flu, and the whole thing was about injecting people. That's what it was always about, folks. It wasn't about protecting them. It was about injecting them with nanoparticles and all the stuff that they've done. And the damage that it's done, the level of contamination in these vaccines, like was just in that report, phenomenal levels of contamination, turbo cancers, things we'd never heard of before. Myocarditis has become a household word. Very dramatic stuff. And a lot of people around the world are hearing about this as well. You know, the Port Hedland report has been a great thing to see happen. It really has. And good on the Port Hedland Council for actually picking this up and running with it. And all of the councils in Australia that have been sharing this information. It's just so important that people understand what's been done to them and take steps to rectify this situation. I mean, all these politicians, all these people, seriously, need to be held accountable. They really do. I mean, it's a dramatic state of affairs, folks, right around the world. You've got politicians still pushing it. I mean, even Trump is still pushing all this bullshit. Unbelievable. Other interesting developments in Australia, you've probably all seen and heard about the firebombing of a synagogue in Melbourne. Yeah, apparently a synagogue in some suburb in Melbourne was firebombed. There's nobody hurt. There's a couple of people apparently with minor burns, but nobody got hurt. People are claiming they attempted to burn Jews alive. Well, there was nobody there. I mean, nobody got hurt. There was no attempt to burn anybody alive. And it all seems very contrived. Does it seem like a coincidence to people that Australia sort of started pulling support from Israel in the face of the blatant genocide that it's carrying out in the Gaza Strip, which is still ongoing? Horrendous stuff going on there, as I've been reporting on so much lately. But Australia pulled support from that. And then Benjamin Netanyahu released a statement that said, by pulling support from Israel, you are inviting terrorism. By not stamping down on pro-Palestinian anti-genocide protests, which of course they call pro-Hamas demonstrations, which they're not. These are protests against genocide. By not stamping this down, you are inviting terrorism. And then the very next day, or the day after, I think actually the next day, we see this firebombing of a synagogue. And right on cue, hundreds of Jews are standing up in Australia condemning the government, saying Albanese government needs to step down, all sorts of stuff, because the government has refused support for Israel. Now just think about this. If the government has pulled support from Israel, why would pro-Palestinian protesters go and firebomb a synagogue and give Israel all the ammunition it needs to claim it's the victim and to have their protest shut down? Why would they do it? Of course they wouldn't. And this is something similar that Israel did back in the UK, like a couple of decades ago. I think there was a, might have been a synagogue, but it might have been a community as well, like a Jewish community or something. They wanted more security. And the government said, well, you know, you're not getting to get any more security than anybody else. That's just the way it goes. This is England. And so they firebombed that place, whether it was a suburb or a synagogue. It was a decade or two ago, and I forget. But I remember the story. There was a firebombing. And then suddenly England provided them with the extra security that they needed. And it came out later, possibly even a year later, that the firebombing was done by Jews. You know, by way of deception, we shall do war. That's the motto, folks, and that is what they do. And they've done it so many times. There has been so many instances where Jews have hurt themselves, even stabbed themselves, and set up false flag attacks and, you know, bombed their own places and firebombed their own places and graffitied their own buildings just to blame it on the other guys and get what they want from the government. This is how Israel operates all the time, like so many times. It's ridiculous to even not be considering this with the alleged attack in Melbourne. Guys here doing work. Hola. So yeah, you really got to look at who benefits in all of these attacks. Who benefits? And the only people who benefit from firebombing a synagogue is Israel, the Jews of Australia.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is pointing fingers at Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, blaming his anti-Israel position for a recent firebombing attack on a synagogue in Melbourne. What Netanyahu means is Australia is supporting the United Nations Gaza ceasefire for Israel to stop slaughtering mothers and children. Israel interfering in Australia using local Jews has happened many times. Watch this rare video of former Prime Minister Gough Whitlam recounting what Jews did to him, which led to him being dismissed in 1975. This video is from a book launch of his memoirs in 1979. Listen to the journalist's question.
On page 125 in your discussion of international affairs, you have a reference,
yes,
to Australia's role in the Security Council of the United Nations during the 1973 Middle East War.
Yeah.
And you say there that Sir Lawrence McIntyre was president of the Security Council when the war broke out, and you say that political pressure and even blackmail was brought to bear on you and your government, but despite that you gave him every support. What was the blackmail? How was it exercised, and who was responsible for it?
The blackmail was exercised by some heroes in the Australian Jewish community on the other side of the world from the hostilities, that we should support Israel in the dispute between Israel and its neighbours. And, of course, my government at least pursued the expressed policy of all Australian governments to be neutral in those disputes and to take all steps available to Australia in resolving those disputes. And it would have been an appalling thing for us to come down on the side of, on one side, at the time that an Australian was in the key position of President of the Security Council. Now, if I may enlarge on this, since then, people in Australia should realise that there are now as many Arabs as Jews in Australia. There are as many Muslims as Jews. And we want everybody in Australia, of whatever racial origin, of whatever religious persuasion, to live in harmony and fruitful cooperation in this country of their adoption or their birth.
There you go. Some 50 years later, nothing has changed with Jews meddling in Australia. Netanyahu believes that Albanese's stance on Israel has indirectly fueled anti-Israel sentiments, potentially leading to acts like the Adas Israel Synagogue fire in Melbourne. Anything Jews don't like, they label anti-Semitism. People worldwide are waking up to this deception. The Jew always cries out in pain as he strikes you. We say Jews have a history of attacking themselves to present as victims to warrant special treatment or changes of policy restraining their host communities, particularly taking away freedom of speech so Jews can't be criticized for their meddling, mischief, and menace. Israel attacked the USS Liberty in 1967, killing and injuring over 200 servicemen. Israel tried to blame it on Egypt to draw America into the 1967 Israel attacks of aggression on its Arab neighbors. So when we hear of attacks on synagogues, Jewish schools, and other Jewish community assets, we must look at Jews themselves as the perpetrators and playing victim. These people will stop at nothing in Israel's interest. Like Gough Whitlam, we must be awake to them, call them out, and resist or expel them out of the country to their beloved Israel, for that's where their loyalties lay. Albanese's government has indeed taken critical positions on Israel's conduct, as it should, in light of Netanyahu ordering genocide against the Palestinians. He's a wanted criminal by the International Criminal Court. There are arrest warrants out for him. Why would Australian Prime Minister Albanese listen to a wanted criminal? However, linking political stances directly to extreme acts like firebombing is typical Jewish mischief. We need to ask, how much influence do politicians have to contain extremist actions when the criminal perpetrators are Jews themselves? Not much is the answer, as Jews believe they're a law unto themselves both in the Middle East and Australia. And is it fair to hold leaders accountable for what Jews do? The answer is yes, unless they act against Jewish mischief. It's becoming all too common to see Jews attacking themselves and blaming the Australian community. What's clear is that the Melbourne incident has sparked a significant debate on the impact of political rhetoric and international relations, which is what the Jews want. Speak to your family, friends, and colleagues so they wake up to the Jews. Political leaders should start kicking out Jews. If Jews aren't kicked out, they'll be emboldened, as we've seen what they're doing in Gaza. Jews care about nobody except their own interests. The Jews have to go. At best, ASIO and the Australian Federal Police need to watch Jews carefully, and politicians must not succumb to Jewish bribes, blackmail, influence peddling to pressure Australia to favor the rogue, apartheid, genocidal, ethno-supremacist state of Israel.
Yeah, it's just how they do it, folks. And like I said, they've been known to do this over and over and over again. And it's getting pretty drastic. I mean, Trump is saying he's fully going to support Israel. He's saying so many things about anti-Semitism that it's just ridiculous. You know, blaming everything on anti-Semitism. Trump is also a full-blown Freemason. This is not going to go well for the United States, folks. It really isn't. And Israel is just running roughshod across the entire Middle East at the moment. The damage they've done in Lebanon is outstanding. Like, they've really done a lot of damage to a lot of sacred sites, displaced a lot of people, caused a lot of damage in Lebanon. Anyway, then they ran off with their tail between their legs when the army started actually fighting back. This is what happens every time they attack Lebanon. They end up running away screaming like little girls because they're actually fighting real men. They're not just killing women and children the way they do in Palestine. They, of course, claim they won the battle with Lebanon because, you know, they did the terror attack, the pages, blew people's hands off, blew their faces off, just, you know, damaged children, women, like the most indiscriminate and rampant and sadistic terror attack probably ever carried out in history, that they're claiming was a great military strategy. No, it wasn't. It was a terrorist attack. But because they disabled all of the infrastructure, like took down all of the Hezbollah command, and they've got superior firepower, they've got jets, you know, they've been bombing civilian areas and whatever, they claim they won. But again, they ran off with their tail between their legs, as they have always done when they've been forced to fight the Lebanese people. But they've managed to cause the damage that they did, and it's all moving towards the creation of Greater Israel. Yeah, and the thing is with Israel as well, I mean, the way it measures winning is by its body count. If we killed more people in your country than you killed in ours, then we won the war. It's crazy. That's just how they think. It's just a cult of death. It thrives on death. That's the Israeli way. It's just this Jewish mentality. And now that they've done that, they have activated one of their proxy groups, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, which are both proxy groups of Israel, run by Israel. They always have been. Now, we've spoken about this so much, how one of the heads of ISIS was, you know, al-Baghdadi was actually a guy called Simon Elliott, who's a Mossad asset. There was another guy who turned out to be Benjamin Efron, who's another Mossad asset. You know, ISIS and Al-Qaeda are Israeli proxies, and they've completely destroyed Assad's government in Lebanon, I mean in Syria, like virtually overnight. It's been very rapid, and we told you they were going to do this. You know, the thing is, they're creating Greater Israel. So the goal was to exterminate Gaza, keep people focused on Gaza, you know, and they're drawing it out as long as they can, because they're a very sadistic race of people. And they want the Palestinians to really, really suffer and be really aware that they are being completely displaced, and to torture them by controlling the media and have them believe that there's no people out there that are supporting them, there's no aid coming, nobody cares about them because they're less than human. And they're very sadistic people, extremely sadistic people. In fact, some of the reports that have come out of Israel, some of the comments of Israelis that have been coming out and being posted on social media are saying it isn't enough just to displace them and expel them. You need to torture them and make it as long and as painful as possible, both in mind, body and soul. I mean, have a look at what this woman has written in this post. Yeah, that's pretty dramatic stuff, folks. And that is the way the Israelis think about the Palestinians. And that is the type of occupation they've been under for the last 76 years.
A number of Arabs died resisting the attack, but a far larger group lost their lives well after the battle had ended. In all, Jewish fighters killed about 110 Arabs at Deir Yassin, most of them women, children, and the elderly.
People were mutilated. Hand grenades were simply thrown into houses. Women and children were killed, bodies stuffed down wells, jewelry stripped off fingers, fingers cut off, earlobes cut off.
رحت أنا ماشي بأرك الحيط من مش من الشارع الرئيسي من البساتين الفرن إله شباك على جهول لليهود في الفرن والنسوان قعدت على الأرض وكل واحدة قعدة وحط إيديها على رأسها هيك وبقولوا للفران ارمي ابنك بالفرن ارمي ابنك بالفرن اسمه حامد قال لهم أنا ما برمي ابني قال له شوي هم ضربوا الحاج حامد على راسه ومسكوا الولد رموه بالفرن أنا شفت هالهم شفت هالمنظر ما تمش فيها حيل من مرة يعني بعدين مسكوا الأب حطوه وراه قالوا له الحق ابنك أنا جيت
Now, people say it started on October the 7th. Now, it's doubtful that most of October the 7th even happened. A lot of the videos we've seen, as I've showed you before, the report that on Matt's Substack shows that a lot of the videos you see of Hamas shooting people from the back of trucks and things are actually AI-generated videos. They're not real videos. Not CGI, but AI-generated. There's certain glitches in there, you know, that only appear in AI-generated videos. Now, you notice in some of the AI-generated videos, you know, people's faces kind of get a little bit distorted and stuff like that sometimes when they turn. It's the same sort of thing. It just has trouble matching the frames sometimes, like frame by frame, has trouble matching the pixels. I don't know, but... A lot of these videos appear to be AI-generated videos, and it didn't start on October the 7th. Anyway, October the 7th was a gift to Israel. October the 7th has allowed Israel to go into Gaza and destroy it, and to then move into Lebanon and now topple Syria, which is exactly what I told you they were going to do. You know, it's not just going to be Lebanon, it's not just going to be Gaza, it's going to be Gaza, Lebanon, Syria. Now that they've got control of Syria, they'll simply be able to absorb Jordan because of the way it is. They'll drive all of the Arabs into Jordan, you know, anybody who isn't going to stand with them. And then they'll absorb that as well. By taking out Syria, they've also cleared the path to Iran. They really want to bring down Iran. And as I've said before, Iran hasn't attacked another country in 280 years. Now, they're calling all these governments Iranian proxies, simply because Iran is one of the people who is supplying them with weapons. The same as the America is supplying Israel with weapons. I mean, if America isn't going to supply the opposition of Israel with weapons, it's just going to be this one-sided thing, then how are these people ever supposed to fight back against Israeli aggression? You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, the United States is a terrorist organization and it's supplying the IDF with weapons to go in and terrorize these other countries, of course. But if Iran tries to support these countries from this ongoing terrorism that Israel and the United States have been waging against them, it's twisted around and you're told that they're the terrorists and you know these are Iranian-backed rebels and Iranian-backed terror groups. They're not terror groups. They're people attempting to defend their countries. You know, whether Assad was good or bad, I don't know. I don't live in Syria. I hear reports either way. Who am I to judge? But I know that what's happening there at the moment is very, very bad. There's a huge Christian population in Lebanon. There's a huge Christian population in Syria. And Assad was the only person who was actually protecting the Christian population in Syria. Now that Assad's gone, it's very likely most of these Christians will be killed. And again, you've got to understand ISIS and Al-Qaeda and those rebel forces that have just overthrown the Assad government are Israeli proxy forces. Now, ISIS has always been an Israeli creation. Al-Qaeda has always been an Israeli CIA Mossad creation. You know, it's just this ongoing thing. They create their own enemies and they go in and get them to do what they want them to do so they can then implement the changes they want to implement. That's how it works. That's how it's always worked. And that's what's happening in the Middle East. It's very, very dangerous what's going on in the Middle East, folks, for the people who live there anyway. Very dangerous. And we're going to see a lot of Christian deaths. We've seen a lot of Christian deaths in Lebanon already. They've attacked, you know, entire villages, Christian villages, even Christian villages in the north of Lebanon they've attacked. They've destroyed the entire Christian population in Palestine. And they're just going roughshod across all of Palestine still. It's disgraceful what they're doing, folks. It cannot be overstated how disgraceful this is. And of course, Trump is going to be supporting all of this. You know, he's so pro-Israel, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you're going to see the United States, I mean, it's just going to get crazy. It's going to get absolutely crazy. Trump is basically calling for anybody who doesn't support genocide, essentially, to be deported, to be arrested, to be thrown out of the country. He's going to throw all the immigrants out. Where's he going to throw them? Like, half of them will end up in the no man's zone in between Mexico and the United States, which is just a horrendous place. It's between the two borders. And it's just mob rule in there. It's just unbelievable, some of the stuff that goes on in there.
Let me ask you about another group of people, the estimated 4 million families in America who have mixed immigration status. So I'm talking about parents who might be here illegally, but yeah, the kids are here legally. Your borders are
Tom Homan. You're talking about separation?
Yeah, well, there are two aspects to this. Your borders are Tom Homan said they can be deported together.
Correct.
Is that the plan?
Well, that way you keep the... I don't want to be breaking up families, so the only way you don't break up the family is you keep them together and you have to send them all back.
Even kids who are here legally?
Well, what you're going to do if they want to stay with the father? Look, we have to have rules and regulations. You can always find something out like, you know, this doesn't work, that doesn't work. I'll tell you what's going to be horrible. When we take a wonderful young woman who's with a criminal and they show the woman, and she could stay by the law, but they show the woman being taken out, or they want her out, and your cameras are focused on her as she's crying, as she's being taken out of our country, and then the public turns against us. But we have to do our job.
Yeah, he's going to shut down the borders, bring in biometric scanning. This whole thing that's going on in Australia, you know, they want to bring in this whole, you know, protect the 16-year-olds, you know, where you can't access social media if you're 16 years old or younger. And how are they going to enforce that? It's going to be the introduction of digital ID by stealth in order to access the internet. This will come to the United States. This will come everywhere, folks. Now, like I said before, the United States, I mean, it isn't the richest country in the world. It's one of the most bankrupt countries in the world. The United States is $36 trillion in debt. A guy did a math, and he worked out that, you know, if you paid the debt off at a dollar a second, it would take over a million years to pay off $36 trillion in debt. They're not even paying off the interest anymore. They're not even managing to get that paid. And what money they do get, they send to Israel and to Ukraine. Of course, the war will stop in Ukraine, right on cue, once Trump gets in. The war will stop because they've done all their money laundering. And Trump said, you know, he's going to stop the war in Gaza, but only after Israel achieves its objective of total victory. Which, of course, and gets the hostages returned. I mean, that's if there even are any hostages. If there are hostages, I mean, I'm sure most of them have been bombed to death by Israel now. You can't drop that many bombs on a country and expect the hostages to still be alive. And look at this picture. I mean, every red spot on that picture is where a bomb has been dropped. And that was in July last year, or July this year. So it's not even a recent picture. But yeah, crazy world, folks. Crazy world. Now, you just got to look back and in wonderment. And you know, but the trick is to see where it's really going. I mean, sure, creating Greater Israel, like physically, but also, I mean, Israel occupies all Western governments. I mean, the goal for Greater Israel is actually a lot bigger than what you think it is. Now, they're just using that particular area of land there, encompassing Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, southern Turkey, western Iraq, all of the Sinai, northern Arabia, and eastern Egypt. That area is just simply where their stronghold will be, their terrorist stronghold, their base. But they occupy the rest of the world anyway. And even the whole concept of, you know, when there's the final battle, and this is what they're trying to do now, like the Battle of Armageddon. Armageddon is actually a field in that area. It's a field, I think, in Israel or in Palestine. And they're saying that's where the final battle will be fought. And it's going to be a very bloody battle. And that's what they're trying to do. I mean, there was that rabbi who recently died who told Bibi that he was going to be the last prime minister and he was going to hand the reins over to the new Messiah, who they are claiming has actually already been born. And that when that happens, everybody, every Jew, will get like 2,800 slaves or something, some number, some huge number of slaves of goyim. But they won't be slaves in chains and in shackles and all that sort of stuff. But they'll be their slaves. They'll be their economic slaves. They'll be their information slaves, like mind control. They'll be able to limit the slaves' movement through all this digital ID, biometric tracking, carbon credit points, social credit points, all the stuff they're doing. That's where it's going, and that's the plan. And it's been an ongoing thing for quite a long time. And it was this rabbi who said this to Bibi. And then there was that other rabbi who said that he believes the Messiah will be enthroned in 2027.
The current non-Jewish Messiah was chosen to be of service to the Jewish people and the Jewish Messiah. President Trump's right ear was grazed in a symbolic gesture of Exodus 21:6, where the Torah states that a servant who wants to remain with his master needs to have his right ear pierced. Trump was designated as God's servant and anointed one, just like Cyrus the Great almost 2,400 years ago. We have clarified in several videos that the absolute deadline for the redemption is by the end of the Jewish year 5,787, which corresponds to October 2, 2027, 1,167 days from today. Thus, the redemption will surely occur during Donald Trump's tenure. And I have good reason to believe Donald Trump was chosen to be the one to redeem the sins of Esav through offering his assistance in rebuilding the Holy Temple on the Temple Mount and establishing the Jewish kingdom over all of mankind in Jerusalem.
You do what God called you to do. You show up. You put one foot in front of the other. You have no idea what God has calling for you. You have no idea where you're going, and in some cases, you don't know why. But he needs you. He needs me.
I think I played you that clip previously. So you can see where all this is going, folks. And, you know, what do you do in the face of this? I mean, I've been talking about this for so many years, and people are saying, well, you're not offering solutions. The solution is us. The solution is for us to stop complying with all this bullshit. Don't sign up for the digital ID. Stop using credit cards. Stop carrying your smartphone everywhere you go, and don't buy electric vehicles or any of this sort of shit, folks. It's an absolute joke. Electric vehicles are actually more pollutive than gasoline vehicles. Now, the amount of, you know, the same with, we're trying to do it to cut down on fossil fuels and shit. They're all charged off coal-fired power stations. And yeah, charging is an hour and a half on a battery. You've got less miles than you do out of a tank of gasoline. And gasoline could burn quite cleanly. They just deliberately make it pollutive so that you will think you're responsible for climate change, which is a complete fabrication anyway. There is no climate change. No man-made climate change. It's absolutely absurd. But of course, you get what the government feeds you. Yeah, and when you look at the size of this Leviathan, the controls of this and the complexity of it. You know, and people are constantly arguing over the details, even the truth movement, arguing over the details. Well, the Jews are Edomites and they're there. Who gives a fuck what they are? Let's look at the clear and present danger that we're in and fix it. Arguing over all these points. What about this and what about that and what about this? The war in Gaza's fake. They just want you arguing about it. It's freaking ridiculous, folks. We're just marching headlong into our own slavery, and most of the time you're arguing with bots. Most people who come to your channel and just post negative comments and try to hack you down and discourage you and all this shit, most of them are bots. If not, then they're agents sitting in a Zionist farm somewhere, in a troll farm, just trolling, and they want to tie you up in argument. That's the whole point. Now, I get it on my channel all the time, folks, like all the time. Hola. Now, all the time, folks, all the time. So, just got to really get some focus and realize we are the solution. And if we're not going to stand up and do something about this, well, we're going to end up going where we're headed. And, I mean, all you can do, really, is get out as much as you can. Isolate yourself as much as you can, I guess. Find a little place in the country, somewhere to be, somewhere where you can grow your own food, preferably on high ground, so they can't flood you out. Speaking of floods, I mean, people are still terribly suffering in North Carolina and South Carolina. A lot of cold weather, and there's been virtually no aid to get in from FEMA. The people are really suffering through there, folks. Floods, still floods going on everywhere. Floods across Europe. Floods across everywhere, folks. Now, everything they're doing to try to distract you from what's going on, I mean, even with what's going on in Gaza, I mean, it's a terrible thing and we need to put some focus on it. But you've also got to understand what's being rolled out beneath the surface of all this, which is the smart grid.
A shopping trolley with a digital twist.
It enables customers to save time, check out faster and manage their budget.
The AI-powered cart's standout feature, the ability to track your spending on a digital screen, made possible with its built-in sensors and scales.
All a customer needs to do is grab a trolley and start shopping. Yep. You can actually bag as you shop.
The technology, thanks to a partnership with the company Instacart, which is behind similar trolleys in the US at Kroger.
So can you put your bags into the shopping cart?
At the start, you should put your bags into the trolley.
Okay. Because and it recognises that that's the bag, yeah.
As the supermarkets face heat from the ACCC as it investigates price gouging, this Coles in Melbourne will be the first to trial the new smart trolley.
If you love a special but struggle finding it, the good thing is this smart trolley actually integrates the whole catalogue and matches it up with the right aisle.
Woolworths launched their version in Sydney back in August, but Coles might just have the edge. From January, you will be able to bypass the checkout and walk out with your trolley and straight to your car.
Smart grid that I've been warning you about for years and years and years. And AI has been really going forward in leaps and bounds. It really has. Actually, there was an article that I wrote recently called How the Christians Were Deceived, where I shared it on Twitter. It went pretty viral, or on X. It went pretty viral. And it's on my website. You can go and read it. TheCrowhouse.com. Just click on Max Egan Articles and you will see this article. It's only about a 1 or 2 minute read. But I was just explaining the basics of what Dr. Lorraine Day had outlined in her book, Who Rewrote the Bible, about, you know, what the word Israel actually means and, the word Gentile never existed before King James got hold of the Bible and all this sort of stuff. I mean, this is what I was putting in this article. There's a guy who has recently contacted me who makes videos. This is actually the guy who worked with Ivana Trump that I mentioned before. And when Trump said he was on a mission, and this was back in 2005 as well. I think I said 2015, but 2005 it was. But he's been making videos for me. And he showed me the power of AI. Because a lot of the videos he makes are AI. Like, personally, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to go near AI. I don't want to sign up to that platform. I don't want it to get whatever it may put on my computer. I just don't want to have anything to do with AI. You know, I've been warning people about AI for a long, long time. And yeah, I don't feel comfortable even interacting with AI. But this guy uses AI to make these videos. And what he did was he got the AI to read my article and then create a video based on my article. And the result was quite scary, it really was. I mean, the voice on the narration, like, it sounds human, there's human inflections, it sounds incredibly human. And it collated all these images and got everything ready. He said it took him about 3 minutes to do this video. And I was stunned when I saw it, because the AI didn't even use any of my actual dialogue from the page. It simply gave its interpretation of my article. And it was quite profound. I mean, and I just thought, wow, he did this in 3 minutes. And it sounds human. How are we going to know when what we are listening to is human or is not human? And would all the AI characters that are being made now, I mean, there's people that are making, like, OnlyFans pages. I don't know if they're actually doing porn or anything, but they're, or just for fans or whatever all these things are. You know, where you've got to subscribe to get little short videos and things. And there's, like, guys that are making pages, and these are the most beautiful women you've ever seen, and it's very difficult to tell that they're not real. And guys are donating money to them, thinking that they're chatting with some gorgeous woman. And it's not, it's some guy sitting in the Bronx or whatever, you know, with his little AI program, just raking in the dollars. What's it going to take? I mean, how long before we can't trust any video? I mean, it's getting to that point now that we can't trust any video. I mean, the guy who made this video for me based on the article even said to me, I can show you how to do this in a couple of minutes, and we can even clone your voice and make it you speaking. And I was like, no, I don't want that. But I mean, AI only needs to sample 3 seconds of your voice, apparently, and it can clone your voice. How long is it going to be before they've got the background of the secret garden? They can simply create an AI version of me and have me walking around saying stuff that they want me to say, you know? I mean, if I was to disappear or whatever. It's got to the point where, I mean, video evidence isn't even going to be admissible in court, because you're not going to be able to tell if it's real video. Like I was saying before, those videos of the alleged Hamas attack on October the 7th, these are AI-generated videos, and it's very, very difficult to tell. The only way we find out was because Matt doing his due diligence and actually going through and looking at the video frame by frame and figuring this out. So what's it going to take for that sort of thing to just take hold, folks? I mean, how do you ever know what you're looking at is a real video and are real people? So how is video surveillance footage or any of this sort of stuff going to be seen as admissible in court anymore? We're getting to the point where it isn't. So of course you're going to need biometrics, and you're going to need tracking, and you're going to need cameras everywhere, and you're going to need GPS, and people are going to have to be carrying their phones with them everywhere they go, so you can correlate it through the data that way. You can see where they're going with all this, folks. You can absolutely see where they're going. Well, I was going to actually see if I could chat to John while I was here, the guy who has been using the Tesla machine for his Bell's palsy, but apparently he is away working on his bike or something like that, so he's not around today. So next video I do, I'll have to get him to come on and share his experience with you, because like, I haven't actually seen him for a week or two because I think he's pretty well fine now. Like 7 treatments on the Tesla machine and his Bell's palsy's gone. Apparently the doctor was pretty impressed, said it generally takes at least 3 months before you start to see any sign of healing, and he managed to do it in 17 days. I mean, he wasn't even coming and having the treatment every day. He was coming every 2 or 3 days. But he had 7 treatments over 17 days, and his Bell's palsy's gone, which is great. I've got another girl at the moment who got myocarditis from a blood transfusion. I mean, unbelievable, folks. You know, in a hospital, and they had to give her a transfusion, and they must have used vaccinated blood, because now she's got myocarditis. And I've got her on the machine as well. We're seeing how that's going to go with her, so hoping for some results on that. But I've been feeling pretty good from using it as well. I'm still having trouble with my hands, but I mean, a lot of it I think is RSI from using the mouse so much and researching so much and being at the computer so much. That wouldn't surprise me either. But I have been having some good results with it, folks. Received a couple of emails asking me if I'm affiliated with the company. Well, I don't actually have anything to do with the company. I'm not involved in it at all. But Jeff did give me a Tesla machine, and he did give me an affiliate code so people can get $500 off a machine by putting in the coupon Egan, my last name. This is the same as what he does with an Acapulco. So that's my involvement in the company, folks. I mean, I've got the affiliate code, but I'm not actually involved in the company at all. You know, I don't build the machines or sell the machines or profit from the machines or anything like that. I just appreciate that Jeff gave me one. It was a very kind thing to do. Apparently he gave David Icke one as well. I'd really like to see some sort of improvement in David Icke's hand from using the machine. So interesting times, folks, really interesting times. And speaking of Anarchapulco, of course, this is where Anarchapulco will be in like 2 months now, folks. Around about almost exactly 2 months, you will be here at the Secret Garden, or we will be here. Hopefully you will be here too at the Secret Garden, sharing in next year's Anarchapulco. And I think it's going to be a pretty spectacular event, folks. I really do. A lot of good speakers. You go to the anarchapulco.com website and check it out. There'll be a link below this video. If you click plus more, you see the links. A lot of people are still asking me, I'll have some clip on and say, where's the link to that clip? And click plus more beneath the video and you will find all the links that I'm able to provide for today's show. And that's the same on every show. So yeah, looking forward to that one, folks. Looking forward to that one. But anyway, I mean, I only had about 4 things to say anyway. I've just sort of rambled on with the rest of the stuff. It's gone where it goes. So I'll probably leave it here for now. I'll put out the usual thank yous. Oh, also, myself and a friend of mine and some other people are soon going to be embarking on what I would call the adventure of a lifetime. This is something that we've had planned for quite a while, but it's never really come to fruition. However, the ball has now started to roll. And this is going to be something that takes place in probably sometime in 2026, or possibly even 2027, depending on how long it takes to put together. But I'm going to be doing a fundraiser for this when I can give you more information for it. And I'm also going to be possibly looking for 1 or 2, possibly 3, people who would like to be involved and make the journey with us. What the journey will be, like I said, it will be the adventure of a lifetime. And I've done a lot of things. I've been to a lot of places. I've been around the world many times in rock and roll bands and doing speaking and all sorts of stuff. But this adventure will be an adventure like no other. You know, through all this whole freedom movement, truth movement, resistance, whatever it is you want to call that we do, like I said, with all the division and arguments and battles and insults and attacks and you know, so many people trying to discourage you and so many people claiming they know what the truth is and all this sort of stuff. I mean, sure, we know certain truths, but a lot of the big ones we don't know. And the reason we don't know is because we're not free. And the reason we're not free is because we keep arguing over our belief systems. It's incredible how it's done. And it's the same with religion. It's just people arguing over their belief systems and killing people who believe in a different book to them. And I don't think if they really believe in God, well, I don't think God would have any of this shit. I think it's their choice to do this shit. Perhaps religion is correct in some way and Satan really does rule this world. I mean, who knows? But there's been a lot of argument and a lot of speculation about a lot of things through this whole journey that I've been on and that you've been on and many of us have been on through this whole truth movement, which seems to have really exploded when the 9/11 attacks happened. I mean, I've been researching this stuff for years and I've been talking about it for years, but when 9/11 happened, it kind of changed everything. People suddenly realized that the research they were doing, the information they were gathering, it wasn't just interesting information, it wasn't just exciting to know this stuff. It was actually extremely important because this was the big end game leading to exactly what we're seeing now. And as I said before, they're achieving what they're doing now, this smart grid and all the stuff they're doing, by keeping you distracted. All these wars, the formation of Greater Israel, the genocide in Gaza, weather weapons, high cost of living, fires, floods, I mean, everything that they're doing to try to keep you distracted from what they really want to do, which is usher in the smart grid, which is what Trump is going to do to the United States under the guise of protecting them against this terrible migrant influx, which has all been done by design. Problem, reaction, solution. Hegelian dialectic, folks. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. That's what this is on every single level right around the world, even the creation of Greater Israel. Problem, reaction, solution. Oh, we did this, we bombed Gaza, we genocided Gaza because Hamas attacked us on October the 7th, which is probably far less than what we've been told. And most of the people who died were killed by Israel. That's already been well established through the Hannibal Directive. That's what they did. All those burned cars. Hamas doesn't have the weaponry to burn cars like that. Now, it doesn't have the weaponry to do any of the stuff that we saw done. This was done by Israeli forces in order to get the reaction so they could go in and genocide Gaza. Of course, then Hezbollah goes and starts firing rockets into Israel. And this is probably controlled as well, which gives Israel the excuse to go and attack Lebanon. And then you have Israeli proxy groups rise up in Syria and overthrow Assad, which gives Israel the right to go in there and commandeer parts of Syria. They've just annexed Mount Hermon. I mean, they're going to keep going. I mean, they want all of Syria, folks. Of course, they'll have to control Syria. They'll have to go in there now to dispel the proxy groups that they funded and put in there to overthrow Assad. It's all this one big theatre show, folks. It's all theatrics. You know, they won't be going in there to dispel any terror groups. The terror groups work for them. They'll be going in there to kill civilians and to level the place, destroy any trace of Islamic infrastructure, bomb the shit out of it, and build Greater Israel. That's what they want to do. Problem, reaction, solution. And with the migrant influx into Europe, the migrant influx into the United States, again, problem, reaction, solution. The same people who brought all these migrants into the United States. I mean, Israel has destabilized the entire world since its creation, bombed the shit out of all of these countries so that they want to leave, you know, the people want to leave and go somewhere better. And then Israeli operatives offer them a free trip to Europe and set them up in Europe. And then, of course, they don't know how to live in a European society. A lot of them are just agents anyway, agents provocateurs, you know, fighting age men that they sent in there to destabilize the country. So they create the problem whereby you need the government to act and stand up and protect you and export all these people. And, of course, the only way they're going to be able to do it is through digital ID and biometrics. You know, and they get to start war on the ground right through Europe. I mean, the army's already there. No one needs to invade Europe. They've already been invaded. All they need to do is create an event which is going to trigger these people. They're doing everything they can to do so. Like, you know, all these hundreds of Muslims praying in the street and stopping traffic and all this sort of stuff, all completely contrived. I mean, this is being done for a reason, folks. Problem, reaction, solution. Now, all of this is problem, reaction, solution. And it's all going to be used to usher in this smart grid. I mean, like I said, Trump's going to bring in biometrics. He's going to deport or imprison or encamp anybody who criticizes the genocide and the expansion of Israel. He's going to be the most pro-Zionist president you've ever seen. And you've got to wonder whether there will even be an election in 4 years. I mean, maybe there will, maybe there won't. All dictatorships that have come into play recently, I mean, Mao Zedong, yeah, the Russian Revolution, all of these things, these are all populist uprisings. All Trump's got to do is pretend he's the embattled underdog for the next 4 years, and he's desperately trying to get things done, but the Democrats won't let him. That people might even want to keep him there, and if that happens, well, it's just going to go where it's going to go. But even if it doesn't happen, what Trump is going to introduce, the biometrics, probably the CDC, everything, the surveillance grid, the locking down of the borders, all of this sort of stuff that Trump is going to introduce, this will be carried over to the next administration, even if Trump does go. So America's really got to see the clear and present danger that it is in. And the problem is that a lot of people go along with it because it's Trump doing it. I mean, people really believe in this guy. It's staggering to consider, but they do. They still really believe in the guy. Now, even after him still claiming he's the father of the vaccine, seeing all the damage it's done, oh no, he was just misinformed. No, he wasn't. Yeah, and now he's virtually swearing allegiance to Israel and everything he does. There's even some speeches where he said he's going to make Israel great again. I mean, he's appointed the most Zionist government you've ever seen, all hardcore right-wing warmongers who all want to go and bomb Iran. People have got to see what's going on. It's just nuts. But anyway, I got kind of off topic. But in the face of all that, like I said, very soon, within the next 2 years, I'm going to be embarking on an adventure, the adventure of a lifetime. And the reason I'm doing this is because there's been a lot of discussion about the true nature of reality, the true nature of our world, the true nature of everything. I mean, so much of it is a puppet show. I even wonder if half of these people are human. Now, a lot of the people you see in crowds actually aren't, folks. Like, when you see these political speeches, a lot of the crowd that you're seeing in front of you is AI. It's AI crowds. There was a picture someone posted the other day. I don't know if I can find it. If I can, I will. But if I can't, there was a picture and there's, like, women with eyes missing and all sorts of stuff like this. They look like zombies in the crowd. And this would be AI-generated images, and it's just having trouble putting the frames together while being focused on the person in the foreground. Even if the person in the foreground is real making the speech, then she's in front of a green screen and the crowd is AI-generated. So, like I said, you can't believe videos anymore. I don't remember what I was even saying. But getting back to this adventure, I don't know how I got onto that. But getting back to this adventure, folks, like I said, there's been a lot of talk of the nature of reality and what this earth really is. So I am putting together a team, myself and another guy who's going to be the team manager, team leader, and we're organizing a couple of boats and we're going exploring. I'm not going to tell you where at this stage, because other people who have gone to explore these regions have generally suddenly disappeared or suddenly just dropped out of the picture or mysteriously died. So I'm not going to share too much information with you yet, but a lot of people who have wondered about the true nature of this earth might have a bit of an inkling about where I intend to go. And it's going to be two boats because, I mean, you can't go to these places with one boat. It's just stupidity. You know, if anything happens, you need another boat there. So that's a plan for 2026 or 2027. I don't know exactly when. And when it happens, I won't actually be telling anybody exactly when either. We're just going to kind of slip off and do it. But this is something that I've been longing to do for quite a while. And like I said, there's an opportunity, I mean, a chance, a possibility, that we might need one or two or possibly even three more hands on deck. So, yeah, gonna be a hell of a voyage, folks, a hell of a voyage. We've been talking about this for a while. And, yeah, it's all, we had a big discussion last night, myself and a friend of mine, and we've started the ball rolling and we're actually going to do this. So yeah, I'll keep you posted on that one, folks. Like I said, I can't say too much at the moment, but I'm pretty damn excited about it. As long as we can make it happen. Like I said, I'm probably going to run some sort of a fundraiser because I'm going to need help with this. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, folks. It's going to be an interesting journey for interesting times. It really is interesting times, isn't it? All we can do is sit back and look at it. I mean, like I said, we try to find solutions. The solution is us. If nobody's prepared to do that, if nobody's prepared to stop complying, then people are just going to continue to believe in politicians and think there's a political solution to all this, then this is going to end up going where we're headed. You know, and if that happens, well, then you've got to find a way of completely stepping out of the system. And anything you want to do in life, get it done now, folks. Get it done now. If you've ever thought about traveling or any of that sort of stuff, get it done now. Because in another 12 months, it's going to be very, very difficult to do any of that sort of stuff without a digital ID, carbon points, all the crap that they're doing. And yeah, it's going to get to the point, like I've said many times in the past, that we're not even going to need government soon. AI is going to be running the whole show. AI will determine what the laws are, what the legal system is, whether you're thinking outside of the box too much. You won't need a court system or a legal system because AI will have already determined what punishment you need meted out to you or what re-education you need for dropping below a certain amount of social credit or carbon credit points. So the police will just come and pick you up. There's no appeal. There's nothing like that. AI has already determined it all. You'll only need a president as a figurehead if you even need a president. I mean, how long will it take before the great decision is made by someone like our dear brother Elon Musk, who says that AI can govern the world better than government, and we should just hand it all over to AI, the beast system, the Lucifer system, Lucas, light, cipher, code, the code that bears the light. What is light? Light is information. The internet and AI is gathering information on everybody and everything. So, of course, why shouldn't it be the one to make all the rules and make all the laws? It can govern society better than we can. I mean, after all, look at what we've done to the world. Look at climate change. Look at all the stuff that humans are responsible for. You can see how this could play out, folks. Yeah, and it'll all be predetermined what your punishment is, what your re-education is. And if you don't get re-educated properly, well, as I've said before, there'll only be two types of humans that survive in this world or that exist in this world. And that will be desirables and undesirables. If you're a desirable, you can have all the toys to play with. If you're an undesirable, we'll simply kill you and turn you into dog food or get you working in the mines or something, you know? That's where it's going. It gets you doing something that the system needs. Maybe harvest your resources if you're a non-drinker, harvest your organs. I mean, who knows? But there's only going to be desirables and undesirables, and Trump is going to be the one who's going to attempt to usher all this in. I say attempt, because again, it's going to depend on our compliance. You know, and are you willing to comply with this type of system? A lot of the NPCs out there will, because that's all they know. They think Trump is their savior when nothing could be further from the truth. And he even said in that poem that he keeps reading, you know, you knew I was a snake. Yeah, well, he is, folks. He's a snake. But yeah. But anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. I've gone on longer than I intended to. Like I said, I only had like four things I wanted to talk about. The synagogue firebombing the fall of the Assad regime and whatever the other topic was. But yeah, interesting times, folks, really interesting times. But yeah, I'll leave it there for now. So yeah, thank you to anybody who shares this message. Thank you to all the people out there speaking out, sharing the information with your friends and your family, and just passers-by. Even if they don't listen, you know, you'll find that 1 in 10 does, or 1 in 20 does. And the more people who get it, yeah, and a lot of people actually do get it. A lot of people know there's something terribly wrong, they just don't have access to the correct information. So, you know, if you share it with them, perhaps they will feel not so alone, and then they will start speaking out too. I mean, we are millions, folks, we really are. And if we actually get involved in leading us towards our own salvation, then we got this. Because they're really pushing for their new system. So yeah, thank you to all the voices out there speaking out. And don't worry about the criticism and the attacks and the trolls and all the stuff that people do. I mean, you don't have to answer to them. You don't have to answer to anybody. All you do is expressing your opinion, same as me, and trying to lead the world to a better place. But as I said before, I mean, people who aren't speaking out about the genocide in Gaza are at least mentioning it and mentioning what's going on are complicit in that genocide. People who are claiming it's all fake are enabling that genocide. And the Palestinian people deserve more because they're beautiful people. But anyway, yeah, thanks to all the people speaking out. Again, if you want to come to an Acapulco, you'll find a link below. And you can buy a ticket. You can use my name, Egan, as a coupon. You'll get yourself a 10% discount on the ticket. Same if you want to buy a Tesla machine. I have been having some pretty positive results with it, folks. I'm very impressed that it's cured this guy's Bell's palsy. I was hoping he would be here today, so I could get him on camera talking about it, but like I said, he's off fixing his bike. But yeah, if you are interested in getting one of these machines, again, you can use my coupon Egan and get yourself $500 off, which is a pretty good saving. And yeah, that's about it. Thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. I have a lot of people sending me emails just pleading with me and pouring their hearts out to me, saying I don't know where to be in the world. I don't know what to do. It's a difficult question to answer. I mean, I'm here in Mexico. I'm still having trouble fitting in. I mean, I can't speak the language and all that sort of stuff. And I've often thought that you need to be with your own tribe, wherever you are. You know, I would just suggest getting out of the cities, getting somewhere, you know, a little bit self-sufficient if you can, and finding like-minded people and just forming some sort of a network to support each other in your own countries. I mean, if this doesn't stop, it's coming everywhere. There is no safe country. There is no safe place to go. You know, if people don't stop complying with this, then unfortunately the NPCs and the vaxxed morons are all going to lead us off the cliff, and we're going to be dragged with them, because that's the way the system works. Democracy, it's simply mob rules. That's why they hoard everybody into big cities and keep them stupid. Because if the big cities are heavily populated and the awake people in the rural zones, you know what's going on, there's far less people in those zones, you know, all you got to do is organise a vote, and all the stupid people in the cities will vote the way the media tells them to vote, or vote by whichever side of the puppet show they support, like this whole Trump and Republican and Democrat bullshit. Either way you vote for, you're voting for the devil. Either way you vote, you're voting for Israel. Israel controls both sides. It controls all of our governments. Israel already occupies the entire world. They're just consolidating that power now. So if we don't stop complying with this, then it's just going to go where it's going to go. So the best thing you can do is just find a safe haven for yourself, folks. Because we're going to get let off the cliff. I mean, what can I say? I try to be positive, but what can I say? I mean, it's happening. That's why I've never really participated in the system. That's why I don't carry a smartphone with me anywhere. That's why I never shop with a credit card. That's why I've just never participated. I don't vote. I don't have anything to do with the system. I just don't want anything to do with it. It's corrupt. The whole thing is corrupt. Even saying, like I've said recently, like, you know, the deep state is Israel. The deep state is all governments. I mean, the deep state is what happens when the state exists. It doesn't matter what country you're in or what government you've got in place. They're out there doing all this stuff outside and posing for the cameras and all this sort of shit. As soon as they close the doors and go inside, that's the deep state. They plan on all the shit that they're going to do to you while the cameras are off. It's a conspiracy, folks. They're conspiring. They get in these rooms together, turn all the cameras off, and they think, now how can we fuck with them today? How can we lead them more into our slavery grid? And then they bring in the children and start committing all the disgusting pedophilic activity and adrenochrome harvesting and all the crap that they do, that we know they do. And occasionally they hang out someone like Puff Diddy to make it look like they're being responsible. You know, Jeffrey Epstein, whatever. They all get up to the same thing, folks. The whole thing is a puppet show. It's theatrics. As Frank Zappa once said, government is simply the entertainment division of the military-industrial complex. And as soon as they close the doors, that's the deep state. All governments. And they've done enough in the last couple of years to completely invalidate themselves, like through the COVID scam, through all these injections they gave people, by supporting the genocide of Gaza, by milking all of our countries dry and sending all the funds to Ukraine for money laundering while they're depopulating the Ukrainian people, sending all this money to Israel, supporting this genocide they're carrying out, supporting the creation of Greater Israel, all of this stuff. This doesn't support our countries. Why are our governments supporting it? And when our governments try to pull away from supporting it, like the Australian government, you have a false flag terror attack staged, and you have all of the Jewish infiltrators in the country start standing up and condemning the government. And of course, they're the ones who get all the media coverage. You don't hear anybody covering the genocide in Gaza or the genocide in Lebanon, what they've been doing in southern Lebanon, blowing up entire villages. It's just insane, folks. So how can you support these people? How can you support any government when your government is supporting this type of behavior? And by supporting this type of behavior and even committing this type of behavior, all of these governments completely invalidated themselves. They've abdicated any privilege they had to ever govern in the first place, and they all need to be dismissed. They hang out people to dry like Assad or whatever, you know, put out arrest warrants against Benjamin Netanyahu, and suddenly the ICC is accused of being anti-Semitic, the ICJ is anti-Semitic, Amnesty International is anti-Semitic. Anybody who speaks out about any atrocities that Israel is committing is anti-Semitic. You question Israel's right to blow up babies and scatter them into a million pieces across the landscape, and you're anti-Semitic. Freaking unbelievable, folks. So yeah, why would you respect the government? Why would you respect any of these people? But anyway, I've kind of gone off topic again. But it's shocking. It is. It's freaking shocking, folks. We need to wake up to ourselves, you know. And if people can't see we're the ones who've done this, well, I don't know. What hope is there for us? We're the ones who've done it, folks. You know, our failure to condemn wrong behaviour, our willingness to support wrong behaviour as long as we're left alone. Now, I'll pay my taxes. I'll do what I'm told. Yes, sir. No, sir. Go and bomb them over there. Don't bomb me here. Yeah, crazy. But they will. The way of Palestine will be the way of the world, folks. They will weed you out if you don't comply, which is why you have to encourage others to not comply now while we still have the opportunity to get ourselves out of this mess. And if we don't, then you need to find yourself somewhere safe, somewhere self-sufficient, somewhere where you can get the support from the people around you, like with your own tribe, and just watch the freak show from the outside. What else can I say? I mean, I've been screaming out about this for years, folks. Like 25, 30 years I've been screaming out about this. Since I was in high school, which is 40 years ago, I was screaming out about this shit. Actually, 50 years ago, I was screaming out about this shit. Started coming online and doing all the stuff that I'm doing in 2008, posting videos to YouTube. Before that, I was on Yahoo chats and Ventrilo servers and all sorts of stuff trying to wake people up. You know, I spent a lot of time trying to do this and trying to wake people up, and here we are. So what do you do? You know, I really want to come and do positive videos and inspiring and empowering videos. But unless people can be inspired and empowered into believing in themselves, well, where's it go from there? I mean, that's the answer. That's the key to the whole thing. People just aren't willing to act. They want to be saved. They see the situation, they're scared about the situation, but they think that by voting in a new leader, voting in some new political puppet, or waiting for their saviour to miraculously appear and save them is going to fix things. It comes down to us, folks. It comes down to us, and it's always come down to us. But anyway, yeah, look, I'll leave it there for now. So yeah, thank you to all the people speaking out. Thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. I do get a lot of them, and I'm very thankful for it. Thank you to all the people who leave kind and positive comments and constructive comments on the BitChute channel. For all the trolls that come there to discourage and shit, well, thank you for letting me know I'm on the right track. You know? But you're disgusting, you disgraceful people. And most of them have no lives and they're just there to discourage, and half of them are bots and the others are in troll farms anyway, so. But it does get frustrating, folks. They do it over and over and over and over again. So, same on X. I mean, that's just the way it goes. But hey, thanks for letting me know I'm on the right track. And again, as usual, thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. It really is appreciated, folks. It's what's kept me on the air for so long, and I cannot thank you enough for the support you've given me over the years. Again, when I know more about this little adventure that we're going to embark on, I do intend to open a fundraiser for that, but I'm going to wait till I've got, you know, costs and expenditure and all that sort of stuff worked out, and it'll all be documented. Every cent that gets spent will be documented. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to that one, folks, and I'll keep you posted. I don't know when you'll hear any more about it. I mean, it might be a month, it might be 2 months, it might be 6 months, it might be a year, but you will hear about it. Anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And thank you for commenting. Thank you for liking. Thank you for sharing. If you're a new listener, might as well subscribe so you get more. But anyway, thanks, folks. Thanks for everything. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.
Lurpak butter is made in Denmark. Maybe you should stop buying it, as the Danish cow's milk used to produce Lurpak butter are about to be infused with chemicals for climate change purposes to achieve Denmark's mindless net zero carbon commitment. The Lurpak brand, owned by Arla Foods, has been producing butter since 1901, using previously high-quality Danish milk. Each kilogram of Lurpak butter is made from approximately 20 kilograms of whole milk from Danish cows that are deemed to be producing methane belches, scientifically called enteric fermentation, which cows have been doing since time immemorial with no significant climate effect. Now, suddenly, the climate cultists claim it's contributing to global warming, which has been sheep-dipped and disguised as climate change. They must think we're idiots. To stop natural cow belches, cows are to be fed with Bovaer chemical-laced feed. Bovaer is a Frankenstein laboratory concoction made of silicon dioxide, propylene glycol and organic compound 3-nitrooxypropanol, shortened to 3-NOP. What a witch's brew! Poor cows and poor people who consume the bovine products. It's enough to turn a person into a vegetarian. An Arla spokesperson said, "The health and safety of both consumers and animals is always our number one priority." Of course they'd say that. Regulatory bodies, such as the European Food Safety Authority, EFSA, and the UK Food Standards Agency, have approved Bovaer's use based on evidence that they say it does not harm the animals or negatively impact their health, productivity, or the quality of milk. Propylene glycol utilised in Bovaer is used in industrial applications like antifreeze. If you're okay consuming antifreeze ingredients, you'll be okay with Lurpak, who says consumers are their priority, as all companies say, until they're called to account. Just as we were assured the experimental COVID mRNA vaccines were safe and effective, which we now know was not the case. Bovaer is a feed additive. It's claimed it reduces methane emissions from cows. This additive, developed by DSM Firmenich, decreases methane emissions. A derivative is also to be used in pork production. This unnatural process meddles with the animal's natural biological processes and generates residues and hormones otherwise not naturally seen in animals. The European Food Safety Authority and ALA say it's not a worry. Interestingly, Bill Gates has Rumen 8, which does the same thing as Bovaer. The same Gates who pushed the experimental, catastrophic COVID vaccines that have silently killed millions. We ask, are alarm bells ringing for you? The Bovaer animal food interference is being done for climate change. We know the climate change claim is based on fraudulent studies conducted by the University of East Anglia for the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. A whistleblower insider released emails confirming the ongoing fraudulent manipulation of the studies to support the IPCC's false claims to manage CO2 or carbon and other emissions through regulations, carbon taxes and emission schemes, such as Denmark has adopted to strangle its economy and likely to send Lerpak broke, despite it formerly being one of the leading and most trusted butter brands in the 75 nations who import it from Denmark. Climate change is a fraud designed to control the human population, and now Danish cows too, and you're about to be fed butter derived from chemical-laced cow feed to support the great climate scam, while greedy carbon trade speculators clean up on cap and trade carbon taxes and strangulation schemes, like those Denmark is imposing on its farmers. Denmark has forged agreements to use subsidies to get farmers and cows off the land, returning it to peat bogs to sequestrate carbon. And so there goes more productive land taken out of food production and locked up for climate change. How do these schemes think we'll feed populations? To us, it sounds that not to feed people is the idea. What's the point of a depopulated Earth? Who benefits? The chosen remnant do. That's who. Rest assured, it's not you and your loved ones. Until we're all 100% sure about what's in the Frankenfoods and Bovaer isn't being used in their production, do yourself and family a favour and don't buy or consume Lerpak if you value your health. Look for alternatives. Don't harm your health or your family and customers if you're running a business. If you are a business and you're concerned, place notices on your menus, no Lerpak used. It differentiates your business and gives a competition advantage that you're looking out for your patrons in all respects. As a word of warning, under no circumstances should you consume antifreeze. As for Lerpak Bovaer butter, we'll pass until it's otherwise proven to our satisfaction. You should act accordingly.